Change Your Life campaign, Read the Red, Pray for the Power. And we're praying that the power of God touches your life. Next week, I'm going to be ministering on the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to show you how He works. I just want to say one thing before I get into this, before I get too thick. I want to congratulate Bree for graduating college. Amen. Give her a hand. Praise the Lord. I've watched her grow up in here. She's been a question teenager. She's had a lot of answers. Now she's a young lady. I'm very proud of her. Read to Red and pray for the power, folks. If you don't have no time, open your red letter Bible and start reading the red words and let the power touch your life. Pray, God, touch me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about Him being the comforter and helper today. Being the comforter and helper today. This whole summer, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I have probably an endless amount of information on the Holy Ghost. If you don't have that personal relationship with Him, I want to introduce you to Him. I want you to have that personal relationship that I'm talking about. And we're on Wednesdays, we're teaching the school of the Holy Spirit and cutting through all the garb and going right to the meat of things about the Holy Spirit. We're getting rid of the wooey, wooey, wooey when we talk about Him. And we used to always call Him the Holy Ghost, and then everybody got all scared about it, you know. The Holy Ghost, you know, ooh, sounds spooky, doesn't it? So the modern name is Holy Spirit, you know. Holy Spirit. But He isn't spooky. He's a friend. I think the funniest thing I've ever heard a preacher say, I heard Jesse Duplantis say this. And you know Jesse Duplantis, he's funny anyway. But he talked about his encounter with God in heaven, how he knelt down to pray, and God translated him into heaven. And he talked about walking toward the throne. And he said, I can't explain it, but Jesus just appeared from that glory. He just appeared in front of me. And he said, I looked and I seen what must have been the Father. But the glory was so bright, I couldn't make out any image. He said, all I could see was a couple fingers sticking down. And he said, I said, Jesus, he said, I see you. And I see the Father. He said, but where is the Holy Spirit? And Jesus said, on the earth. And he goes, I knew that. I just laugh when I heard him say that. He's here. You know, when we recognize that His presence is here, we sing all kinds of songs. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. He is here. You know, the Spirit has control. I mean, we let Him have control. But let me tell you what the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants to be your comforter and your helper. These are two of His main roles on this earth today. Is your helper and your comforter. Somebody did not plug me in. They have to plug me in. Somebody's got to go up there and plug me in. My little clicker ain't working because it ain't plugged into the computer. He wants to be the helper. And He wants to be the comforter in your life. He wants to blanket you. Folks, I want to introduce you to the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to introduce you to the relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to introduce you to the flood gates that the Holy Spirit wants to connect you with. He has so many different things He wants to connect you with. And without that power touching your life, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. The Holy Spirit is not for the future. The Holy Spirit is for the now. He wants to comfort you now. He wants to be your best friend now. There we go. He wants to be that one that helps you, you know. I can only imagine how often the disciples would run to Jesus. Can you do this? And they would tell him their problems and they would tell him their concerns. He seemed like he's the guy that has the answers, right? And so they run to the guy that has it. I would imagine that they would come to him as little children would a caring friend. And they would bring every want, every sorrow, every agony before him. They knew that it was he who could bandage them up. It was he who could fix the hurts. He was the wise man. He was the wise doctor that could help them with their life, you know? It was he that had all the answers. I imagine he would tell them, "Fear not." We have many occasions where he looked at the disciples and he said, "Do not fear. Do not fear. All things are going to be okay. Everything's going to work out okay." It must have been wonderful to live at the time when Christ walked the earth. Have you ever thought of that? How it would have been to actually walk around with him physically? I mean, you know? Whew. But you got to remember, most of the time when they walked around with him, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. Do you realize that you have it better than they had it? You have a chance for a better connection with God than the disciples had. And you ladies can probably understand this better than men. Because you ladies give birth to something that lives in you. And you feel that presence inside you moving. And, you know, you guys have a special intimacy. You know? I remember years and years ago when they actually caught Ted Bundy. I remember them interviewing his mother. And she said, "I love him." You know? I mean, a serial killer that killed and ate 30 or 40 women. But his mother loved him. Mothers love their children. And I think it's because of that intimacy. And that's the same thing that God wants to have with us, guys. Because the Holy Spirit is not out there floating around in some distance somewhere. He's right here. It says he's in you. That's special. Even for the disciples in those days, all their world that they had came to an end. They got arrested. They got beaten. They got crucified. They got buried. Jesus did as well. And although Jesus rose from the grave, his time on earth after the resurrection was really short. He only had 40 days. He only spent 40 days after the resurrection. And then it was all on them. And so he had just a short time to make an impression, you know. You may only get one incident with somebody to make an impression in their life that will be lifelong. You guys, I get blessed when I see my wife singing with Brandon. I go back when I see that stuff. And I can remember Susie's sister sitting in the piano playing. And Susie sitting beside her. And little Brandon, who's like Anthony. He was younger than Anthony. Standing there with a microphone. And them two leading the altar service. Singing with mics, you know. And now I look at Brandon behind the pulpit, you know, grown man standing there with a microphone singing with my wife, and I just think, God, you are awesome. You are awesome. And how following God's plan for your life is awesome, is all I can tell you. It's an awesome life. If your life isn't awesome, you're probably not following his plan. Now, I'm not saying you don't have bumps and ups and downs and, yeah, I got as many, you know. I had a guy tell me one time, "Boy, you don't seem to have any problems." Oh, really? It's just, I don't talk about them to him and I don't talk about them to you. And most of the time, I don't even give them any attention. I say, "Adios, amigos." That's my Spanish for today. I'm learning. Holy Spirit is our helper. Five times it says he's our helper. Let's look at it. John 14 and 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Or if you're reading the King James, comforter. That he may abide with you forever. That's the reason why I use both terms, comforter and helper, because the Bible uses both terms. John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, if you're not a Bible person, he's not saying anything to you. And so, he's not going to give you any information. He's not going to bring to your remembrance things. Because you haven't read it and put it in there. See, the Bible is the living word. That's why you can't get rid of it. It's living. It's alive. I got this little flaming Bible. I'm always whipping it open with the kids and going, it's a fire! Shut up in my bones! I'll let the fire come out of the Bible. It's alive. It's consuming, you know? And if you put it in there, he makes promises to you. He says he will teach you all things. And you'll be standing there talking to somebody, and something will come out of your spirit and comfort that person. And that's the comforter talking through you. Because you put it in there. Oh, hallelujah. In John 15:26, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. I think the reason why the Holy Spirit gets a bum rap in the church is because he don't bring any glory to himself. All the glory he gets comes toward Jesus. He sends it all that way. He don't take any glory for himself. And that's because that's his personality. That's his personality. He is the Spirit of truth. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now. I've been a Bible student since day one. When I tried to witness to somebody, and they asked me how to get saved, and I went back to my, I had a cap on the back of my truck, and I crawled in the back of my truck to sleep at night, and I bawled that night. I was at a convention, and I cried and cried because I didn't know how to tell that guy. I didn't know a Bible verse that I could tell him how to get saved. And I said, God, you need to show me. You need to show me. And I'm looking at this authorized King James Version. It's like, the Bible's like 50 years old, and the print was this crazy print in it. And I'm trying to figure it out. It was the only thing my parents left me when they left. They left me an old Bible. That's the only thing they left when they left. There was an old Bible laying on a stand. They didn't want anything to do with that thing, I guess. And so I took that thing. And I opened that thing, and I remember trying to find scriptures about how to lead somebody to Jesus. And I couldn't find nothing. And I sat in that back of that truck, and as God is my witness, I cried. And I said, God, I promise you, if you help me with this guy, I will know the Bible. I will make the Bible my daily food, and I'll be able to tell everybody why they need to get saved and how to. And you know what? I sat down with that guy the next day, and I fiddled through Matthew. I knew it was New Testament. There had to be something about Jesus in there. I'm serious. I just laughed because it's the way I was. And I found something that he said about salvation. There it is. I didn't know how to get saved. I just know I did it. You know what I'm saying? Know how to tell somebody how to do it. You know, I knew I threw myself down on an altar and it was a personal thing between me and him. It wasn't this five-step plan. I can't stand these five-step plans. This is how you get saved. First you admit, then you believe. I hate that stuff. I wasn't even sure I did believe when I got saved. It was a heart thing, man. I opened my heart up and emptied it out before God. Said, you can take this old drunken trapper and do something with him. I'll do it for you. I had lied to him so many times through the years. Oh God, if you just help me get this job, I'll go to church every Sunday. I knew it had to, you probably should go to church if you were a Christian. I didn't know why, but I knew you probably should. So I'd make him this promise. I'll go to church every Sunday. Sure enough, the place had called me and I'd get the job. Shoot, I went to the Lamplighter and got cheeseburgers instead of going to church on Sunday. I got cheeseburgers and beer. I lied to him so much. I hate to tell you this stuff. Why in the world does he always do this to me? There came a moment when the Holy Spirit became real. It changed me. It changed everything about me and my idea of God. You know, I'd sit back there, and I wasn't married to Susie. And she brought her little boy up for prayer, little Derek. And I was sitting back there, and I'd watch, and she'd bring him up here for prayer. He was getting ready to have a test done. And I'd see her get touched. And I'd see people fall down. And I go, what a bunch of baloney. You know, I did. I was saved. You know. And one day, we had decided to get married, and I was going to go to the altar with her. And we had the kids here, and I was standing right here, and about right here is a wall. About right here. I'm standing right here at the altar. My pastor, when he prayed for people, this is how he did it. You know those guys that go, you know? He went like this. That's how he prayed for people. Just like that. And I got news for you. If somebody goes like that to me, it ain't doing nothing to this guy. You know? I mean, I've had people hit me as hard as they could in the jaw. And I didn't go down. So this pastor goes like this to me. Hey, I ain't gonna do nothing, you know? And so I'm standing here and he's praying for us. And he walks over and he just goes on my forehead. And when he I went, whoosh, bang, right against the wall. And I looked at him. I went, oh God. That was my introduction. Oh my God, what is this? You know? And he opened my eyes up. So I can tell you right now, you might sit there and think, you know? You just be willing. And you let the Holy Spirit operate in your life, you know? He made a believer out of me. In John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper or the comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him. See, Jesus was limited to physical limitations like us. We're human beings. Jesus was a human being. The Spirit of God is not a human being. He was limited to the physical body. He could only be at one place at one time while he was Jesus. He couldn't be Jesus here and Jesus in Russia. Wherever he was at, that's where he had to be. But the Spirit of God is a spirit. And he can be the Spirit of God here, the Spirit of God in Russia, the Spirit of God in Romania, the Spirit of God in China. He can be everywhere. And that's what he's talking about. That's why it's to your advantage. See, if you wanted to have Jesus with you, you had to haul him around with you. Now you just go ahead and let him live inside you and you take him wherever you go. That's the difference. That's why he says it's to your advantage. Oh, hallelujah. We had three dispensations. We had the dispensation of the Father, which was the dispensation of the law. And if you broke the law, Hunter, you died. Cut and dry. Stoning. Now, I know a lot of the movies show them grabbing stones and throwing. There was some of that. Primarily, they put you in a big hole, stand around the hole, fill the hole up. When the hole's full, the stoning is over. There was some stoning where they throwed stones at people like they did Stephen and stuff. But most of the time when you got under the law, you got punishment, you were buried under the stones. They have that in Achan's family. All that shows how stoning was actually done. You know, they just fill the hole up with you in it. Done. You know. Then there was a dispensation of Jesus, which came as the dispensation of grace. Jesus introduced grace to the world. And then when he left the Spirit, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're in right now. When that finishes, it's over. It's over. We enter into a whole new dispensation when that finishes. When the Holy Spirit departs with us to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the bride is called up, it's over. The Spirit of grace leaves the planet. Oh, hallelujah. And the only people that get saved in those days are people that give their lives. That's the only people that get saved. He does not comfort by words only, but by also by deeds. Some comfort by saying, "Be ye warmed and be ye filled," but they give nothing. But the Holy Ghost gives us understanding. He gives us promises. He gives us grace. He gives us comfort. He helps to build us a relationship with the Father. The Bible says, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons by which you cried out, Abba, Father." Romans 8:15, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Simplest words in the Hebrew language, Abba. Abba. Oh, hallelujah. It means daddy. That's what it means. The Spirit will actively guide and direct us. He does not sit back and watch us stumble and fall, but He leads us. He will give us strength. He will give us courage. Isaiah tells us there's a Spirit that was to come and rest upon Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 11, if you want to read that, tells you about the Spirit that has come to rest on Jesus. There's seven manifestations of the Spirit found in Revelations 1, 2, chapter 1 and 2 and 3. And those seven revelations are also found in Isaiah 11. He's the helper in 1 John 2 and 1. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you would not sin." I'm telling you how not to sin is what he's saying. If you follow these teachings, you will not sin, is what he's saying. But if anyone sins, Mike, almost like he knows we're going to screw up. Right? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, who's an advocate? What does this word mean? Advocate. In the Greek, it's parakletos. Parakletos. Para, to the side, beside. Kelo, to call, to summon. One who is called to the side of another. Come here, sweetie. One who is called aside. Like my honey here is walking in heels. You know, I want to tell you, though, most of the time, if we're walking on ice, she's holding me up. I have to make an honest confession there. But I'm supposed to be her strength, you know. And I'm holding her up as she goes along. I'm comforting her because she knows I'm here. If she goes to slip, I'm here to catch her. You know what I mean? I'm not only here to comfort her this way, but if she screws up, or if she's walking down the aisle, I'm that person. See, we have this all over in our traditions, this word that I'm talking about here that has to do with the Holy Spirit. And our traditions. I'm the one who's walking her down the aisle. What? Why does the dad walk the bride down the aisle? So she doesn't fall. You know? So she doesn't trip. He makes sure she's there. But what if she screws up? God, quit on me again. What if she screws up? There we go. Then I'm there standing there to defend her. This is a defense attorney in the court. This word is a judicial term. Advocate. Judicial term. If you need a lawyer, you need an advocate. That guy will just sit there and say nothing. And that guy will do all the talking for him. You don't have to defend yourself. The devil accused you last night while you were asleep. You're on his hit list. I'm going to take you out before you do anything to advance the kingdom. You too. It says that. He goes to the presence of God as an accuser of the brethren. To accuse you. That's why Jesus is positioned. Now, I want you to get this, okay? See, we're humans and we think finitely. We think Jesus is sitting beside the Father right now saying, "Oh Lord, I want you to bless Brett and Brandon and Hunter and Greg." That's not what Jesus is doing right now. It says he is ever living to make intercession. That actually happened in John 17. And he said, "I pray for all of those who you will call." See, you don't understand the power of your prayers. That's why when you pray, you beg. Because you don't understand the power of your prayer life. And how much power that life has. You know? See, you're living with these finite eyes. And you're looking around at the temporal. And you don't see anything going on in the temporal. And so your faith level shrinks. Because you're looking at with temporary eyes. If the Holy Ghost floods you, you begin to look at things with eternal eyes. You understand that your prayer is eternal. Moses prayed a prayer in the book of Exodus, I believe it is, that God answered in Acts chapter 2. That was 1,500 years it took for that prayer to be answered. He said, "God, I would that you would take this spirit," it's book of Numbers, "I would that you would take this spirit that's in me and that you would put it on all your people." And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost flooded the group. And the 120 that was in the house began to preach out loud, began to pray in tongues, and the Holy Ghost filled the place up. Oh, hallelujah. And when you understand the power of having an advocate, of not having to defend yourself, you don't have to tell the devil nothing. You don't even have to talk to him. Don't give him any of your attention. So hard to let the advocate talk. But the advocate has prayed for you. He's prayed for you. You don't think He's aware of what's going on this earth right now. You know, Jesus ain't sitting there. I mean, I know they sing it in their songs, but he's not sitting there. There's a person sitting there. We got all these kooky songs, you know. Just a cabin in the backside of glory. Oh, give me a break. I want a stinking cabin in the backside of glory. I live in a cabin now. I want a stinking mansion in the backside of glory. You know, a cabin. He wants a nice cabin. You know what I'm saying, though? It's the Holy Spirit that's here. Yet, Jesus never fails to be aware of what's going on because he's connected to the Holy Spirit. And I can show you Acts chapter 6. They're stoning Stephen for his witness. And the Bible says that Jesus stood up in heaven. And when he stood up, Stephen was able to see the glory of God and to see heaven while they were stoning him. Awesome. The only time in the entire Bible Jesus stands beside the right hand of God. The first martyr of the church got a standing ovation from Jesus. The rest of the time he's sitting beside the Father. But he stood up. He was fully aware of what was going on with Stephen. You want to know the truth? Brett, I don't think Stephen felt a rock. I think God snatched him out of there way before he felt anything. Oh, hallelujah. And you let him be your advocate for you, your helper. In the Vine's dictionary, it says it's the capacity for giving aid. That's what the word helper means. It was used in a court of justice to denote a legal assistant, a counsel for the defense, an advocate. Translated comforter, helper, advocate, counselor. It's all kinds of translations, all kinds of English words for this one word. What's the function of a helper? He promises the disciples. I read them to you, Acts or John 14, 15, 16. But mainly to reveal the word. However, say reveal the word. Doesn't matter if you read the thing, if you don't understand it. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, let me tell you something. When I first got into this thing, first got saved, first got committed to the Word, I was a couple years into this thing, a Bible student of the Word, I began working with a Jehovah's Witness. And I'm going to tell you right now, he was very, very good. He was a guest speaker at General Assemblies. And I ended up working with him one night. I didn't know he was a Jehovah's Witness. I didn't even know what a Jehovah's Witness was. But we were sitting there talking, and he was talking to me about the Word. He was talking to me about Jesus. He was talking to me about all these things. And if the Spirit of God would not have been in me, that guy was so practical, I might have been knocking on doors the next day, inviting people into the kingdom, as they call it. They have a teaching. At least this, he really hurt himself because he gave me one of their teaching manuals and one of their old order Bibles. Before they chopped up and made that thing they made, he gave me a thing called Reasoning the Scriptures. And so I began to read this thing, and as I was reading it, the Spirit of God was revealing the error in it to me. I was beginning to see the error. There was so much error in what he was saying, according to what I knew. And so, with that being said, he led me away from that Jehovah's Witness. Now, myself, another Christian friend of mine, and another Christian friend, and this Jehovah's Witness were all standing in the guard shack one day. And the head guard of that day was a dog. He was a worthless, filthy pig dog. Literally. He was a vile man. Disgusting way he talked. Didn't care about the words he said. He's campaigning for the job of captain. And he looked at all four of us, or three of us, not the Jehovah's Witness guy. He looked at us and he said, if you guys vote for me, we voted on a captain in that group. He said, if you guys vote for me, he said, you'll never have to work on Sunday. And I looked at him, and this Jehovah's Witness spoke up. And he goes, well, what about me? He goes, I go to church too. And this guy looked at that Jehovah's Witness. He goes, eh, you cuss like I do. And I went away and I started thinking. The scripture says, you will know them by their fruits. You know? And he had devalued his presence, or the presence of God on his life, in front of the most vilest guy, one of the most vilest I've ever worked with. And I'm thinking, wow. He led me away from that error into truth. And if I would not have known the word, guys, I'm telling you right now, they have a compelling word. I've had a couple of them cuss me out since then, but they have a compelling word. And it won't change on me again. What in the world is going on with this thing? Okay. What's the function of the helper? He reveals the word, and secondly, he confirms the word. If you are wanting Mike to lay his hands on you and give you some word, or me or Brad or somebody to give you some word for what you should do, you're in a sorry shape. You know, most women preachers don't excite me. Some of them do, but most of them don't excite me. But boy, Joyce Meyer, I just love her practicality. You know what I'm saying? Lady standing there, give me a word from God. And she takes the Bible and says, here, take this and read it, like I did. You know? No, you want me to bop you. You know, here, read this thing. This is how I got it, you know? I'm just thinking, that is so cool, because that is so true. All you need the prophetic for, see, in the Old Testament it was different. It's different now. We don't need the prophetic to guide us. We don't need him to tell us, thus saith the Lord, thou art called to preach. We don't need that. Actually, that might hurt us, actually. We need him to confirm the word to us. Said they went out and worked every word, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. I always say it's the signs of a believer when the spiritual gifts are operating in your life. I mean, you don't have to wipe cancer off people's bodies, but you ought to operate in the spiritual gifts somewhere. You know, whether it be the mind gifts, the mouth gifts, or the might gifts, they should be operating in your life. Those are the signs of a believer. Oh, hallelujah. And letting him confirm the word to you. You know, now I've had people prophetically talk to me. And every time, I've had a lot of them prophetically talk to me that they were boneheads. You know, if a guy hands you a card and says prophet on it, run from the guy. I'm being honest. Run from him. You know, I mean, I've seen everything. This stuff is so abused, especially prophetic. It's so abused. I seen an ad in a magazine. I about wanted to burn the Charisma magazine. It was an ad in the Charisma magazine. The guy was advertising weight loss through the prophetic. He had wore this belt. He wears it around every day. And if you send him $50, he'll send you that belt that's guaranteed to take weight off of you because he wore it. And then he starts quoting Acts 19, where Paul took handkerchiefs, you know. You find a scripture to teach everything if you want to, you know. The wrong thing was the $50. I might have believed the guy if he says, you just send for this and I'll send it to you for nothing. I'll pay the postage, I'll buy the belt, and I'll pay for it for nothing. I might have believed the guy then. But I can buy a belt for $6 or $8. Ship it for $5. Sounds like a pretty good business. $50? If I buy belts in bulk, I can buy them for probably $3. See, I think entrepreneurially sometimes, you know. We don't need that junk in the kingdom of God, you know. We just need him to confirm his word. And when these guys spoke to me, I can tell you every single one of them. They were divine words of the Lord, every single. They were spoken to me dozens of years ago, and I can tell you word for word what these guys said to me. People say, well, I can't remember. Well, it ain't for you then. Because if it's for you, you remember it. You remember it. It speaks right into your heart. You don't need to listen to it later. You know what the guy's saying. I can tell you exactly what Gee said to me. Exactly, word for word. I can tell you what Don Dillon said to me in a little cabin on Salt Fork Lake. Exactly, I can tell you what he told me. And all he did was confirm the word to me. Oh, hallelujah. He's an abiding helper. He says he will abide with you forever. Dwell, settle down, remain with you. We'll have to get that fixed. There we go. That's the Holy Ghost, okay? Man, you just have to understand this. You know? One of the cutest pictures I've ever seen, it says, the headline is Perception of is Everything. And it's got a little kitty looking in the mirror, and in the mirror is a lion. You ever see that picture? Perception is everything, you know? Oh. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is Jesus telling the disciples. He's a teaching helper. In John 14, 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Oh, hallelujah. He will remind us, guide us, show us, teach us. And you'll be talking to somebody and the Holy Ghost will bring something to your remembrance and you'll tell it to them and it's just what they needed. No one can truly know Jesus Christ unless he's taught by the Spirit. You can read the Bible backward and forward, but unless the Spirit of God teaches you, you read it in vain. That's why you have to be saved to understand this book. It is the Spirit of God who would disclose to you what is to come. The Spirit of Truth who will glorify Christ. It is God's Spirit who will reveal the deep sayings of Christ himself and disclose them to you. For he is your comforter. He is your counselor. He is your advocate. He is your helper. Turn your ear to him and listen to him. He has good news for you, folks. Is he still the helper? Well, according to this, I'm closing with this. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Is he still the helper? Yep. He's the helper that's available. He's the one who helps in your weaknesses. He's the one who makes intercession. This is why I tell people all the time, if you don't pray in tongues, you need to pray in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you need to let the Holy Spirit fill you with the Holy Ghost and let you pray in tongues. Because there will be times in your life when you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray. I have so many incidences that come up where I don't know the will of God for a situation. I really don't know what to say. Somebody will tell me to pray over something, and I really don't know if it's God's will that I pray over it. You know, when those times come, I just pray in tongues. Because I know he knows the mind of Christ. And I know he will pray the perfect prayer. Oh, hallelujah. It's that important. It's that important. How long will he be with you? Forever. He'll be with you forever. He's going with you in the rapture, guys. He's going with you. The Holy Spirit is the best man in the wedding. Oh, hallelujah. At the marriage. Oh, I saw a bride come out of heaven, adorned. He's the one that adorns us with gifts. Oh, hallelujah. Years ago, God gave me the assignment of teaching people how to love God. I thought, now you think this is an easy assignment, but I want you to teach somebody how to love God. The first thing I thought of was, do I buy him flowers? Do I buy him a new dress? I'm thinking from a man's aspect. By the way, God isn't a gender, so get that out of your head. And I have all these ideas of how do I show God that I love him? Because I realize that if I don't do that, I break the worst commandment of all. The greatest, he said. And this is the greatest commandment of all, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. The biggest commandment that he has given us is to love him. So how in the world do I teach people how to love him? And it's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit that you take that gift that he gives you and you give it back to God. It's through the Holy Spirit that you take those words that he speaks to you and you give them back to the Father so he can delight. Now, all right, you dads, you guys that are dads, don't you just love to get things for your kids? I mean, I'll be honest with you. Don't you? I mean, I know you don't want to spoil them rotten, but when you get them something really special, it just tickles you, don't it? That you're able to do that. He is the same way. You know? Don't raise your hands, but how many of you dads ever heard your kids say something you say? And you just chuckle when you hear it. Or they act like you act. They do something you do. You just chuckle. They mimic you. They say what you say. And you just feel that little in there. That's the little rewards of being. There ain't many rewards of being a mom and dad. You know that, you know? I ain't going to tell you that. There ain't a whole lot of rewards in it. You got 12 years of pain and 6 years of hell. And then they grow up and become a problem. So there ain't many rewards in parenthood, you know. And you just wish to God they come out of the womb with a little tag around the toe that said, this is how you do it. You know, so you make a million mistakes along the whole way, you know. But anyway, the little rewards, that's the way it is with him. I mean, guys, that's the reason why he did a miracle of turning water into wine. So he could show you how to give him a little reward. You know? This isn't a license to go around and get drunk. We just get so confused about what all this stuff means, you know? He wants to show you how to get answers from him. How to please him. How to love him. Stand up with me. Oh, hallelujah.